I was taking a walk a few days ago, and there's a kind of a park in the middle of our, I guess you could call it a subdivision, but, and I go and walk around it sometimes and come back home, go back to work, you know, and I shared with you how that there's some, quite a few hawks that live in this area, you know, and I would call to them, you know, and they call back sometimes. I've even had them fly up next to me when I've called them, and I've had several of them do that. And but every once in a while they move on. You know, it's like I guess the squirrels get kind of skittish. You know, they're watching for them all the time, you know, to swoop in on them, and so they, after a while, they move to another area, and then they come back after a while, you know. And I was walking around this park just the other day, and between the park and one of the houses that's around the park, and I looked over to my right, and there's three great big hawks sitting on the edge of the roof right over the doorway of this house. And the hawk's a pretty wild creature, you know. You don't want to get too close to humans and human things, you know. And I thought, boy, that is unusual, you know. I really thought that was unusual until I heard Michael Green's testimony the other day. He was sharing something that was really surprising, you know. Michael Green just came down to visit with us from South Carolina. And I'm going to let him share that testimony with you. It's pretty interesting.
I want to say hi to everybody. Everybody's been nice to me. Everybody's been real nice here. There's a lady that I work with. She usually drives like 40 or 50 miles to her hometown church every Sunday. And a couple months ago, she told me a story where they had pulled up to the church. Her mother and one of her childhood friends was in the car with her. And there were buzzards lined up on the eve of the church as they pulled into the parking lot. Nobody else was there. And for whatever reason, she counted the number of buzzards that were on the church. And there were 26. And she didn't really know why she was counting them. But when they had the church service, in the program, there was a note in there commending the original extended families that still belong to the church. And there was 26 of them. And everybody in the car practically shouted over each other at the same time and say, "Buzzards pick over dead things." And it was apparent that she's like going to a dead church. And, you know, I tried to share with her about coming out of Babylon. And it's just one of those unbelievable things that, and she really said she hadn't really shared it with anybody before. And, I mean, it's a message, I told her, it's a message directly to you from God. And it's an unmistakable message. And nobody that we have talked to since has ever seen buzzards congregated together like that anywhere.
Except around a dead carcass, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
and they got a pretty good reason then, you know. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it reminds me of my friend Pauline years ago, who basically was in a local church here, and very curious about the Word, and I shared a few things with her and prayed for her, and the Lord delivered her and healed her and did some things for her, and she was surprised because this wasn't a full gospel type church, you know. So she was asking a lot of questions, and anyway, she ultimately got healed and filled with the Holy Spirit and basically outgrew that church pretty quick, you know. But she came to me one day, she said, "David, I had this dream that I went to three houses in a row. I knocked on the door, and a harlot answered the door three times in a row." And she said, "The fourth time I knocked on the door, you answered the door." She said, "What do you think that means?" I said, "Well, how many religions did you belong to before you came to us?" She said, "Three." I said, "Well, that's your answer." It's amazing, folks. I mean, we, you know, people think we're picking on the religions, you know, but it's just history repeating itself, you know. When men organize, quite frankly, they usually organize out the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Anytime you can get a whole lot of people to agree on something, it's usually wrong. That's strange to say, but it's kind of the history of God's people, you know. If the multitudes believe it, there must be something wrong with it, you know. And we know that God is going to do a great move of His Spirit in these days and bring multitudes of people into the truth. That is great. This is what we call a revival. We're looking forward to this. And we know that's coming really soon, but not without a lot of shaking. And we just give praise to God for giving us our little part in it. And Brother Craig Hargis just shared a really good testimony with us the other day. I thought maybe he'd share it with you too. You know, you need to have your, you need to know that God will do what He said He will do. You know, didn't He say that all things that you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them? All things covers an awful lot. In Matthew chapter 21, all things whatsoever. You know, you can, that just covers an awful lot. God is waiting for us to believe His Word, to stand on His Word. And He's going to do miraculously. Let me let Craig share this testimony with you.
Greetings, saints. I recently returned from about an 8,000-mile journey back out west and up north. It had been on my heart for some time to go visit some family members and just to speak to them, to share with them things that I've learned and things I see coming down the road here, considering the times that we're in. And the Lord finally released me to go early in May. And I just want to thank Him and praise Him for giving me a good trip and giving me His favor and keeping me going. And just for the blessed time of fellowship I had, I was able to visit with some of the brethren on the way. I'd like to greet Rule and Christina Stewart in Texas and Rory and Linda Moore in California, Ruth and Roy Lee in Spokane, and then the brethren in Utah as well. I was able to visit with them, with Philip and Sheila Sapp and Kevin and Holly Ray, Michael and Michelle Weber, and Jason and Kristen Maxfield and their sons. I had a blessed time of fellowship with all of you, and I just thank the Lord for you, and I look forward to meeting with you again. But the Lord, when I was leaving Utah to head back to Pensacola, I was just saying my goodbyes, and I was outside, and I got into my Jeep and started it up, and there was this really loud knocking sound coming from the engine, so I thought to turn it off, but I just left it running for a minute and got out, popped the hood, and opened the hood, and just gathered around it with a couple of the brothers there, and just this really loud knocking sound. It sounded like something seriously was wrong with it, and I was ready to hit the road. I had another 1,500 miles to go. I just asked the brothers there, it was Kevin Ray and Philip Sapp, just to agree with me in prayer that the Lord would repair that. So we kind of laid our hands on the top of the engine there and just prayed a simple prayer and asked the Lord to repair it. And we stood around it for a minute, and the knocking kept going on, and then just gradually got quieter, and pretty soon the engine just started purring. And so we thanked the Lord and praised the Lord, and I got in and drove on my way, and the Lord kept me going. The Jeep tried to quit on me a few times, but you know, I really believe the Lord kept me going all the way. And I just thank Him and praise Him for His mercy and His grace, and thank Him that for the work that He's done, for making provision for us in all things. His word is true, and we stand on His promises. So bless you all, and hope this encourages someone.
Amen. Amen. Remember that, folks. The Lord can fix things for you. You know, He's Almighty God. Is anything too hard for God? He asks us. You know, no, He is an awesome God. We don't want to put anything past Him. He said all things whatsoever. We need to take Him at His word, right? And He is our provider. You know, He said He would provide our every need. You know, I would say that's a need. You know, if you have to get back home and your vehicle's broken, that's a need. And it's certainly not too hard for God. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, for being our Savior. Please expand our understanding, Lord, that we don't put anything past you, Lord. We will need to know the God who is Jehovah Jireh in this coming wilderness, Lord. And we're so glad we can share these testimonies with people so that they will know, your people will know that you, you're still a miracle-working God. It hadn't all passed away with the apostles. It's still with us today, Father. We thank you so much. Hallelujah. Amen. Ashley Hawes and Ben are with us from over in Shepherd, Texas, and we're so glad that they're visiting.
Hi, I'm Ashley. I was here a few months ago. I just recently had a really cool testimony happen to me. I had a baby about a year ago, and then after I had the baby, I was having some issues with my knee, my left knee, and I didn't really feel it was right. I mean, I'm not under the curse, so I prayed to the Lord and I asked Him to heal my knee, because I mean, He already did it, but I knew that I could, that He would manifest it. So when I was praying to Him, and then I started praising Him one day when I was walking, and something like cracked in my knee, and it felt better. It wasn't completely healed. And then I forgot about it for about a month or so, and then one day I realized I wasn't having any problems with my knee.
Praise the Lord.
It was really cool. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Just, we ask, we believe we've received, and we praise Him, right? We just praise Him. We give thanks to Him, you know? Praise is powerful, you know? Praise gives credit to the Lord, you know. You know what real praise is the Old Testament word is halal, where we get hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, right? And it means to brag on the Lord, to boast about what He's done. You know, really, real praising of the Lord is speaking out loud what He's done. Not necessarily what He's physically done, but what He's done. What He's accomplished, you know. Our healing was accomplished at the cross. We can praise Him that we're healed before we see it. That's spiritual praise. That's a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, Hebrews 13, which makes confession to His name, right? This is one of our priestly offerings that we give to the Lord. You know, when we ask the Lord for something, we begin to praise Him. We begin to confess Him before men. We begin to tell them what He's done, what He's provided, and how He's done what we asked. And you say, well, doesn't that sound kind of crazy to the world? Well, not when the answer comes. Then they really realize that you knew something that they didn't know. You could see something that they couldn't see. And that's pretty supernatural to them. And we need to confess Him before men, the Bible says. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. He is the high priest of our confession. He is the one who takes our offering as priests and offers them before the Father. And if we confess, which means speak the same as, if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father. You know, Hebrews 13 and 15, it says, through Him let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of the lips which makes confession to His name. Of course, His name means His nature, His character, His authority. We make confession. We speak the same as what the Bible says about us. If you need a healing and you've asked God for it and you've received it by faith because it is promised in the Word, then you can then confess Him before men. And this principle works throughout the kingdom, folks. He said, when you pray, believe you have received. He said, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. In other words, Jesus has already become Lord over all of the curse. He has already delivered us. He's already provided for us. He's already done it. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And we can confess Him before men, and God will bring it to pass. I believe that this is one of the major missing links to people really receiving from God. They just want to get prayed for, and then they want to keep it in their mind, in their thoughts. And usually, if you're not praising Him and giving thanks, it won't happen. You won't keep it. You won't hold on to it. You'll wonder what happened or why you didn't receive. You got to be proactive in this thing. Begin to imagine that you have received it and speak it out of your mouth and agree with what the Bible says. And, of course, the Bible says that He has already done all this. And a while back we studied in Peter how that says, I'll read just a portion of that to you, 2 Peter. It says, grace to you, verse 2, and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things. Wow. Hath granted unto us all that pertain unto life and godliness. All things have been given unto us that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. And yes, that is a baby. That's Eve. That's Ben and Ashley's baby. It sounds like she bumped her head. Bless her soul. He hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life. Now, can we confess Him before men? He is the high priest of our confession, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. The high priest of our confession. Therefore, He has to offer an offering before the Father. And it is our confession. And praise is a confession. It is a confession to His name. We just saw that. Confession to His name. We offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Praise being bragging on what the Lord has done, boasting on what He's done. And, we generally think, well, most Christians believe that praise is something that you do in church. And that God is very happy with our praise. Well, you know what? He's a lot happier with our praise if we walk by faith and we confess Him before men. I'm not saying we shouldn't confess Him to one another. That's good. But hey, we're supposed to all know this, actually. Christians, we're supposed to all know this. We're supposed to already be agreeing with this. And of course, there's nothing wrong with bragging about what God has done to other Christians and standing up in front of them and saying, I received this in the name of Jesus. I received this healing, and I'm thanking Him for it right now. And I'm praising Him for it. He healed me at the cross. Glory be to God. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Lord really wants us to do it before men. He really wants us to confess Him before men. And quite frankly, Ashley's testimony was one of the ways that God brings healing and deliverance and provision to us, He is a faithful, miracle-working God. Are you getting prepared to live in the kingdom? You better be. Because mighty shakings are about to come across this land. If you don't know you already have a provision and you're constantly looking for it from the world, instead of from God, you're going to be very disappointed. The things that are happening to us as Christians are not accident. There's nothing can come into your life except it comes through the hand of God. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, the Bible says. So, whatever comes into your life, the Lord wants you to take seriously His promises and not act as though they're not there. And continue to carry on your life the way worldly people would. You're not an Egyptian. You're an Israelite. You live in a different kingdom. Brother Ben here, Brother Ben Hawes from Texas, has got a testimony to share with you.
How are you doing, Saints? I just wanted to share a provision I had from the Lord for an alternator for my vehicle. And there's other things that he was trying to show me with it too, but what had happened is my vehicle was squealing, and it started off just squealing a little bit here and there when I'd speed up, usually in about first, second gear when I would start doing it. And then slowly started doing it a little more often, and then one day we were driving home from playing a volleyball game, and it just started squealing, like, really bad. Like, right when I turned the vehicle off and started driving, it was just squealing, like, continually. And wasn't stopping or anything. And past first gear, second gear, all the way up to overdrive. And another thing I noticed is the alternator charge gauge had went all the way down to zero. So it wasn't giving any charge at all. And right away, you know, we figured that alternator was bad, because it wasn't showing that it was giving any charge. There's a light that came on, said check engine, or check, not the check engine, but the check gauges light came on. And so I knew it must have been the alternator, so I called. I was actually with my brother-in-law, Rule, and a few other brethren. We were just playing a game, and I called up Rule and told him what was going on. And we were going to stop at Wendy's to eat, so we stopped at the Wendy's. And the bad thing about it is that it was at nighttime, so the lights were, you know, I had to keep the lights on, and that would drain the battery faster since the alternator wasn't given any charge. You know, the battery goes sooner, and we were about an hour away from our home as well. So we stopped at the Wendy's, and we were just talking about it, and called up a couple AutoZones and checked if they had an alternator. And, you know, we found one that was close by that we could get an alternator by. And when we were done eating, we about ready to leave, and then we just decided to pray for, you know, we had to pick the alternator up, but we also wanted to count on God to get us home too, because it was an hour drive home, and typically the battery wouldn't last that long. So we just prayed for the Lord to get us home and just take care of the vehicle and get us home without having any problems. And you know, as we prayed that, then, you know, I got in the vehicle, started up, and started driving and following Rule to the AutoZone, and then I noticed that everything was driving normal. Everything was working perfectly fine. The gauge was right back where it was. I've never really heard of that happening before, and Rule's never heard of that either, where the gauge just was completely not giving any charge whatsoever for, you know, about 10 minutes of driving, and then all of a sudden it's working perfect. So that was a test.
Doesn't happen naturally, that's for sure.
Yeah. Definitely doesn't happen naturally, and we made it home with no problems, and actually went off for the next week without that ever happening again. In fact, the gauge never went down again. It still hasn't went down again, so that's still working. And so, yeah, the Lord definitely fixed us there. And, yeah, just wanted to praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. So now you know what to do, folks. I remember I remember sharing over in Louisiana in an assembly about the Lord healing an alternator for me, you know, and I shared it with you before how when I was a real young Christian, I was just full of the Word, you know, and the church I was going to, they didn't have much faith, and they didn't really talk faith a lot, but I was loving to experiment with God, you know, and do things. And so me and the guy that actually witnessed to me, it's many years before, or actually, no, it was just about a year before he'd witnessed to me. And he was going water skiing with me. And as soon as we cranked up the car, we had hooked it onto the boat. Heard this terrible noise and opened the hood and looked under there and noticed that the alternator was just jumping around. The shaft on the alternator, the bearings were gone, and it was jumping around, squealing, making all kinds of noises. And so anyway, he said, "What are we going to do?" You know, I said, "Let's pray over it and go skiing, you know. So we did that. We laid hands on that thing, and it actually hurt your fingers to put your hands on top of that alternator with it vibrating like that really bad, you know. And so we did. We just commanded it to be healed in Jesus' name and slammed the hood and took off, you know. And we had to pass through Baton Rouge and over the river and out to False River, where there's a little community out there. And by the time we got there, there was no noise under the hood anymore. And that doesn't happen with bearings, folks. I'm a bearing expert. I mean, I'm a machinist, you know. I've changed lots and lots of bearings in equipment, you know. And what happens is the balls in a bearing are held apart by a retainer. They don't actually rub into one another. And they're held equally spaced around the race, you know. And what happens when the bearings go out, the retainer tears up, and the balls can actually all get on one side of the bearing. So the thing just like jumping rope, you know, it's not running smooth at all, you know. And the balls start getting square instead of round and all that kind of stuff, you know, and it make a terrible noise. It's an astounding miracle to have God put new bearings back in something like that, you know. And so my friend Don was his name. When he didn't hear that noise, he says, "Stop the car. I want to see this. Yeah, so we did. We stopped the car and opened the hood, and that thing was just running just as smooth and as perfect, you know, and never did change it. So I was sharing that in a church some years later. And actually, Brother Willie Poe, who may be listening tonight, he's one of our elders, you know, he was there. And he was listening, and I shared that about God fixing that alternator. And he came up to me afterwards, and he said, "David, do you think God would do that for me?" I said, "Well, I believe it if you believe it." He said, "Well, I got an alternator on my Honda right now. It's tore up." He said, "Will you come afterwards and pray?" I said, "I sure will." And we prayed over that thing, and God healed it. Praise God, you know. Hallelujah. God's our Savior. You know, there's nothing He can't do. But I've changed bearings and alternators before. I'd rather see God do it. You know, it's just a lot more fun. And you never can tell. You might get to the place where you can't even get the parts anymore, you know. And besides, you're on the road. You don't want to, you know, all kinds of reasons, you know. God just likes to do it to honor Himself, like we just read about, you know. "I will get me honor upon Pharaoh." Well, He got Him some honor on my alternator, you know. And Ben's too, right? Praise God. The Lord is awesome.